The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell right here on ESPN 97.5. Glad you could join us. How was your weekend?
Weekend was good. Mother's Day was a little different, obviously. We grabbed some pizza and some cider and some beer from St. Arnold, which was fantastic. I'm telling you right now, I think their pizzas are some of the best in the city. It was fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, they are really, really good. I've known this for a while. The guy that does the pizzas, I met him before. I know their process. I mean, they take it very, very – this guy's a chef. I know the process they use. It's just fantastic if you've never had their pizzas. The crisp, you know, the thin, real crispy crust. This is the kind you like, the kind that – I know Nick will do them. I know Keneally's does them like that. It's just really, really good. And then Hugs and Donuts. I had to order it. My wife wanted that for that donut place in the Heights has been closed down for a while. And then they opened up. And I think a lot of these places that have been closed for a while who opened up, like our friend Rebecca Masson from Fluff Bake Bar, her business, and she moved.
Sugar Hooker.
She moved. Yeah, Sugar Hooker. She moved. Well, Sugar Fairy. Her friends gave her the other name. And she's like, John always says the name that my dad doesn't like, and he listens all the time. I said, well, you know, get in line. John says words that we don't like
sometimes. Anytime you put hooker, okay, when someone describes you as a hooker,
it absolutely needs to be
clarified, okay?
But
I'm
I think
not
a
saying
lot,
she is. I'm just saying that's what she's been called.
Well, her business moved from Midtown to the Heights in the middle of a pandemic. And she's actually doing pretty well. Like, one thing that I think a lot of these companies are finding out is when it comes to treats like donuts and things like that, and I think less expensive things, when I say less expensive, relatively speaking, I mean, some of these really good barbecue places, they're definitely not cheap. I mean, they're a little expensive. But it's not like a night on the town that can get a little pricey at a dinner with wine and cocktails and all that stuff. So those places have done well, but the donut place, like I had to order it on Friday during the show to make sure I could have it on Sunday because they're selling out. Just I went in there and there was 22 boxes of donuts for people waiting to pick up, and that's not to mention more that were on the way. So some of these businesses I think are still doing okay. It's others like the ones that are a little more I don't necessarily want to call it high end, but you know what I'm talking about, that rely on a little higher price point. They're the ones that are struggling. And I've heard from a restaurant friend that there's going to be a lot of changes. Restaurants are going to start lowering price points when they come back. The competition is going to be more casual food, more casual prices, just to try to stay alive. So I think you're going to start seeing some of those changes if you haven't already. You're going to see some people come back with completely different menu. Our friend that we saw from La Lucha, we went and had hamburgers on Friday. That's what we go do with Solis and his girlfriend. And Bobby Matos is like, you know, when we reopen State of Grace, he said, we're going to have, you know, some new, the menu's going to look a lot different. He said, our longtime customers are not going to like it. He said, but it's kind of, you know, what you have to do is hit reset on some things right now. So
yeah, no. Absolutely. A lot of some stuff is, well, we went over to we went and bought Wendy's. Oh, I don't even know if I should tell. Yeah, I could tell the story, I think.
Is it a bike?
No, it's not a bike. Okay. It's actually her photographer that died, Willie. She told the story at they had an event over at Channel 13, and they had a bunch of people out there, and she told the story. They traveled together in Italy. They traveled together a lot, she and Willie. She and Willie were pretty tight even before she was news director. And they covered the Pope being the new Pope. And so they were leaving, but Willie said, well, you got to help me go shoe shopping. So, because I want to buy a really nice pair of shoes from Willie was the nicest. He was unbelievable. And he loved his wife so much, and she said, okay, well, I'll take you shoe shopping. We'll go find your wife a pair of shoes. And they go there, and they went, Willie said, okay. Wendy said, what size, Willie? What size do we get her? And he said, 12. And she said, 12? 12. Willie, you know we're in Italy. They probably don't make a pair of shoes bigger than a 5 here. There's no such thing as a women's 12. And so they went store to store to store to store, and they just couldn't find it. And actually, my wife said, finally, she said, Willie, now tell the truth, and I'm not going to judge. Are these for you? And it cracked everybody up, but his wife was really a 12. So so they had this joke between them, and every holiday, every time it was her birthday, every Mother's Day, he would always send her a text, and he would say, happy birthday or whatever, and he would say, you know, do you get your shoes? Uh-huh. And so we went, and we bought Wendy some shoes, because this was Willie's Mother's Day. So we bought her some shoes for Mother's Day, and a nice pair of shoes. And she was, and it was really, really, it was really nice. We had a really, really great day. We rode bikes and we did everything. We sat out at a cafe right here that was open, and we got to sit outside and all eat, and everybody was, you know, social. Although I will say this, when we were leaving, man, the place was getting kind of packed. I was like, okay, let's go.
Yeah, Mother's Day. I wonder how Mother's Day, if any of you guys went out to, Del, did you go out to dinner with the lady next door for Mother's Day for her with her grandkids or anything like that?
No, she's not my mom, so why would I do that?
No, like with her grandkids or anything.
No, I didn't go to dinner. It was yesterday was
lunch
time. No, yesterday was family time, and we do our business at night. So
who do you hang out with for family time? Did you keep it a real tight one-person family you like to keep
I called my mom. We had a long conversation. She got her gift. I had it planned to have it delivered on Sunday, so she got it. We talked. So, yeah.
How long is your conversation with your mom?
Yesterday was probably 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's a long mom conversation.
That's a long conversation, though. For you to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
did you feel trapped?
No, because it was my house, and I could walk around. I like my mom.
Did you feel like you were phone trapped, though?
No, because I called her first.
Did she make you FaceTime?
No, she didn't care about that.
Do you do Portal, where you walk around and it follows you, like on those commercials? I don't know anyone who has one of those.
No, I just talk on the phone, like a regular
person. That seems like something that's 100% for grandparents, a Portal, where you walk around and the camera follows you, and, you know.
No.
I've never actually seen one of those. Yeah, I talked to my mom for probably about 15 minutes or so, maybe a little bit longer. And then my wife took over, and then my daughter takes over, and it's on.
It's over.
She talked 30 minutes to grandma. I mean, I don't know what they could have to talk about for 30 minutes, except Monty reliving every day of the last 4 months, whatever the case may be, in depth. And so I'm just like, oh, she's got the phone now. So that's that. Obviously, There actually are going to be some sports stuff to talk about. We've got Duke is in the line of fire. It's happening in the middle of a pandemic, but it's shining a light on something that we already know is out there. But I want to get into that a little bit. Obviously, we also have the UFC 249 win. And kind of sneaky, because the draft was a quote-unquote sporting event, but this was the first live sporting event. I don't know if people really have thought about that. UFC 249, if you don't assume wrestling is that event, UFC 249 was the first live sporting event, and it even had somebody who had tested positive.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say on Friday, Jacare Souza tested positive, as did two of his cornermen. They were taken out. Everyone was, you know, retested for coronavirus, you know, contact tracing. And no one else came up with it, so they had their fight. So I want to get into some of that too. I rented that event and watched, and I want to talk about how the UFC handled it, what was different. If you watched it and you have thoughts, you know, you guys are free to weigh in on Twitter, or you can text. I'm going to check the text line today, 713-780-3776, or obviously just pick up a phone and call us at 713-780-3776. You can call or text that line. But I definitely have some thoughts on that, because that was a very unique. Well, let me get into it now, and we'll save Last Dance for the next segment because Last Dance always takes up more time. So in this Justin Gaethje versus Tony Ferguson fight, John, nobody – it was held in Florida because that's where you can have fights. It was held in Florida, and there was no – and Greg Hardy was on the card as well, by the way. And Greg Hardy was on the main – it was on the main card, and – so there's no fans there. There's corner men. There's media members, some media members. Obviously, all three members of the broadcast team were on, and they – it's Joe Rogan and I can't remember who the play-by-play guy. I can't remember his name. And then there was DC, Daniel Cormier. And all three of them were at different tables. Like, they were spread out. They were in three different areas calling a fight. And so anyway – you could hear the breathing of fighters. Like, you could hear everything. It's very strange, except for the fact that I've watched The Ultimate Fighter, where there were times in The Ultimate Fighter, which is a reality show, where you could hear everything when the two camps, you know, the two groups of fighters who were on teams, when they weren't really cheering, when the action was kind of slowed down, you could hear that stuff. This is the whole fight. You could hear everything. You could hear everything. And after the fight was over, Greg Hardy won primarily because the guy he was fighting hurt his foot and really couldn't kick anymore for the next two rounds, because he was blasting him for the first round with leg kicks, tearing his leg up. And after the fight, Hardy mentioned that he said, well, I could hear Daniel Cormier on your broadcast saying I needed to start checking his low leg kicks, so that's what I started doing. And they realized, holy crap, when we're mentioning – strategic stuff, they can hear it in the ring for the first time ever. They can hear what's going on with what we're saying, and if we're saying stuff that's strategic, they can take that and use that, which I thought was something that they haven't — I don't know that that's ever been said before, where you could hear a broadcaster and you change some of your strategy because of something a broadcaster said that you could hear perfectly in a dead silent arena.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder, yeah, I mean, that's, listen, you're going to hear all the signals called out, much like the XFL, where you heard every signal called out, and you know, and I asked June Jones about that, and he said, well, we do a lot of our stuff in the huddle, and the other teams don't. They do everything at the line. That's an advantage for us. And when you're calling everything out at the line of scrimmage, they're going to be able to pick up, by the fourth quarter, they're going to be able to pick up your tendencies. You told the story about the Saints that picked the pick against Peyton Manning
in the Super Bowl. They had
in the Super Bowl.
A buddy
right.
of mine had helped set up Dragon Dictation, where they were playing it on — I don't know, the Saints didn't do it, my buddy did it. I want to make sure I don't put the Saints in it, but my buddy, I won't say his name right now, but he put a big like speaker of games, and he played games, and he had Dragon Dictation, the professional version, listen to all the games, and it was transcribing. What they found is when Peyton Manning called Casino was his call for all out blitz. He was audibling against a zero blitz, a cover zero, which is one-on-one, no safety help. And so basically the Saints, once they got that information, because Pollard shared it with them, they baited him into making a zero call. They made it look a certain way. He called Casino. And then Porter is the guy that jumped it and ran for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. And so when you hear, when you're going to be able to hear all the calls, and as if baseball doesn't hold their glove up enough now, they're going to be whispering with their gloves in front of their faces. I mean, you talk about a paranoia, and, you know, as we found, rightfully so. But, it will definitely – I wonder if they're not scouting the Korean League and seeing what they're doing and making sure that they don't make mistakes with that, you know, talking too much, or, you know, the manager now can actually yell to the pitcher's mound and tell a guy something.
You don't even have to have a visit anymore.
No,
you don't have to risk
no
a
more
visit.
Visits. You don't need visits anymore. 713-780-3776. What's the matter?
Doosan beat KT 13-12 yesterday.
Your team sucks.
God, they do suck. I'm 1-4 right now.
No, you suck too. You suck too, okay?
I mean, we can't win when we're giving up
10
runs in the first five innings.
No, okay? I mean, if your team sucks, it sucks. What are you going to do?
Man.
You got on the wrong horse.
I got on the wrong horse.
I mean, you're up against my secretariat. How do you think you're going to fare?
Who are you?
Suck. Secretariat.
No, are you Deucin?
No, I'm the Heroes, brother.
Which is what?
Weekum Sequoise.
Hanwha?
No,
Kiwoom.
Kiwoom.
Ah, they won 6-3 yesterday.
Yeah, see? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but Loti is undefeated at 5-0.
Screw Loti. The Giants?
But you're right there, 5-0. Yeah, the Giants. You're 5-1. There I am, last place. Typical.
I told you. Well, listen.
Can't wait for my last place shirt to get here.
It's 7:15 ESPN 97.5. We're just getting started. We'll talk about the last dance. We'll talk about everything going on in this weekend, including Zion. Wow, Zion Williamson. Holy crap. But right now, let's talk about the difficult time that this is. And I don't know that we've seen a more difficult time business-wise. We had the 2007 and 8 where that was just horrendous. But this is something, a whole new neighborhood. And all the benefits that the government has given out, all the SBA loans, the PPP, everything that is going on, all the tax breaks. And let's not forget, you still have to do your taxes. Let's not forget that the Affordable Care Act is still in effect. It is so complex right now. And if you're trying to do all this stuff yourself, and if you think you can do it all yourself, or if you're with a payroll company that doesn't have experts, that isn't doing a good job, that isn't answering your questions, then you're behind the eight ball. And there's no reason to be behind the eight ball, because we've got a company that is just awesome at this. And if they're not answering, if your payroll company isn't answering all the questions that you have, well, then call our payroll company, because it's the best. It's HRP, HRP.net. Your business is going to get back, and you want to be on top of everything, and that's what HRP is doing right now. HRP.net. If you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. What stuck out for you last night in the last dance?
Well, it was easy for me. It was the real Jordan. In other words, we know about the great. We know what an all-time great he was. We know about the wins. But he was just not a fun guy to play with. And I don't think he was a very fun guy to be around. And that's part of it. I mean, I think that's part of who Jordan is. He's not. It's not an easy brush of the paint where you just say, this is who he is, just a winner. You got to tell the whole story, and that's why I like this documentary, is it's telling the whole story. I'm not judging. The truth is whatever the truth is. It doesn't bother me. And the truth is, Michael Jordan was an a-hole to teammates. What I think is interesting, John, is after all these years, well, let's get Judd Bushler. As a matter of fact, I'll have Dell pull that up. There's some audio. Let me know when you have it, Dell. Okay, he's ready. Here's what Judd Bushler said, his teammate on the second set of championships from 96, 97, and 98. This is what Judd Bushler said about Michael Jordan.
People were afraid of him. We were his teammates and we were afraid of him. And there was just fear.
Catch the ball when I throw it to you. I just threw it to you.
Ignore this guy. He's dumb stupid. He's overplayed.
The fear factor of MJ was so, so thick.
I mean, that says those are his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Those are his teammates, and they were all afraid of him.
I don't have any problem with it.
I don't know. Well, you don't have to have a problem with it, but that's not my point. Is I don't think any of those guys really – I think there's a reason he's not really tight with any of his – like, Jordan is his own thing, because they don't really want to hang out with Jordan. Like, he was not a – it's the same reason he took shots at people at his retirement ceremony. That's part of Jordan. It's part of what makes him great as a winner, is that – he had something in him that was a true a-hole gene. And I think people like to think of this too generally. It's not general. It's extremely specific. There's only a few all-time greats that have this, and it's a flaw. It's not a strength. It's not an advantage. And I guarantee you this, all of us who romanticize this, because I've romanticized it as well, you do, everybody does, had you been there, you wouldn't have liked it at all. We're talking about, these are successful grown men who none of them liked it, and they all talked about it. You would have been afraid of one of your own teammates. And Shannon Sharpe can run around talking about, I would have whooped his ass, and I would have, if he had taken my food away, when they were talking about the Horace Grant stuff. Have you noticed that all these grown-ass people, mm-hmm. all of them, none of them to this day have ever spoken out negatively? Name one guy that was a teammate of Jordan. To this day, they're afraid of him. You want to talk about the alpha of all alphas. They didn't do it then, and they still don't really do it. You won't see very many negative things that are said out there. I think they're truly afraid of Michael Jordan. And they clearly were afraid of him in practice when he was the big bully. And that's part of who he was, too. And I thought this one really picked up on that and showed, you know, that was the bully side. And I started to see some people on Twitter responding to it, not positively, but the thing I think was a little funny is that the group that would respond to it more positively, although probably behind the scenes, are actual NBA players. I think actual players would see that and go, ooh, man, this was the dude, because they live inside that environment of alphas. The general public, that's just off-putting for a lot of people in the general public is, oh, he was just a bully. Yeah, he was. And it wasn't hidden, John. We've known this for years and years.
You know, Shannon Sharpe can say what he wants. What, you know, there were some big dudes, some Horace Grant. Mm-hmm. And Horace Grant wasn't – he backed down from nobody. When you're on Mike's team, it is – make no – there is no mistake. Shannon Sharpe, you were a Hall of Famer. Scottie Pippen was a Hall of Famer. Everyone deferred. I mean, you're with Mike, okay? So – you can't compare it to, oh, I was a grown man. Grown man tried to keep me. Oh, yeah, whatever. You'd have been like, Mike, I'm hungry, man. Come on. I need to eat. I want to eat, Mike.
Sounds Mike. Like something in a jail cell with a pod boss.
Yeah, it probably was like that. And guess what? You probably – because if Mike was going to – and listen, the practices, how hard he – I mean, everything about it, everything they did, every single day probably it was like, man – you know, we're working on, I mean, if Mike's working on, and it is true. And I think, and I keep going back to the culture thing. And, you know, you and I have done a lot of these videos, which, by the way, are catching a lot of views on SportsMap if you haven't checked them out. But Lance and I do videos, a couple of them a week, maybe four or five of them a week. And we keep on talking about the culture. And I was thinking about the 2000, Charlie had a guest on from the Seattle Mariners, and I was thinking about the 1998 Mariners that had Randy Johnson and A-Rod.
Right.
And then 99. And Ken Griffey Jr. All three were gone. And 2 years later, in 2001, was it 2001? I think it was 2001. They won 116 games. Mm-hmm. You get rid of your three best players, and guess what happens? And again, I mean, everybody is down on Bill O'Brien, and everybody's down on what this Texans team has done. And I agree, it was stupid, and I agree he doesn't know value and all of that stuff. But this culture might change here. We may see a better football team out of this when you get rid of your best players, because that culture, and you talk about a culture that Michael Jordan, I mean, I don't know that there's been, again, you said, I don't know how you could, intense. The way Mike practiced every day, do you think anybody, any other team, do you know another team? Like the dream, when they showed that dream team game, that was practice.
But that was also the practice. Norm. The norm for Jordan, and really there were other teams like this too. I think it's a lot different now. A, the money's so substantial that you can come in and flake in front and do all that stuff. Just get by, punch a clock, and then just collect a bag and get out. And that's why it's watered down by a bunch of suckers. Like, the league, sports in general, got watered down by too many suckers, because you can get your money, you can get your cash without really putting in the grind. You don't have to. The number's so high, you can stay in a league for 6 years in any league and make well, maybe not baseball is a little bit different, but you can stay in a basketball and in some cases football 6-7 years and you're good. I mean, you're good. With Jordan, how about that? With Jordan, his third, he was making when he went out. Did you catch what he was making per year when he went out of basketball and left? Did you hear what he was making?
Yeah.
How much?
It wasn't when he went to baseball.
How much was he making in basketball?
What was it? $3 million?
$3 million a year.
Yeah, yeah.
It was $3 million a year, and that's good money. $3 million is good money. That's not good money. But now players would demand, like, it would be just the worst thing in history. And granted, Jordan helped change a lot of that stuff.
Well, but when he went out in 98, it was $33 billion.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's how quickly that's how quickly it changed. But yeah. Jordan went out in $3 million when he was making $3 million. And so my point is, that's MJ. Think about what the rest of the guys were making. One thing that we don't ever talk about is you also kind of had to do what Mike was saying if you wanted to stay. Like, Mike could get you out of there with the quickness. We know James gets rid of people here. We know LeBron has done it. Magic Johnson did it. It's not this. This is nothing new. Magic did it with a coach when he was early on. But I think there were guys also who realized it's not just a physical thing or it's a psychological thing for Michael Jordan. It was also they would get you up out of the Bulls. And if you're out of the Bulls, if Michael Jordan personally gets rid of you, that was probably not a very good mark on your, you know, in terms of your background. You can ask Dennis Hobson that. But that was probably not a very strong mark if you knew Michael Jordan got rid of a guy. But, the culture, the practice, that's why I always kind of – it doesn't sit well with me when people make fun of Bill O'Brien or any coach wanting guys to practice and acting like practice is a joke and practice doesn't matter. Dude, it does. I've seen it matter. It absolutely can matter if you want to be great. The difference between what you're talking about with culture is you can't be an a-hole to everybody and fly off the handle nonstop. Bill O'Brien at some point has got to get a hold of his impulsive behavior because Belichick is a no-nonsense type of dude the same way Saban is. And Saban is probably closer to closer to O'Brien than Belichick is because he gets a little but they have set standards, but they're not yelling and screaming. And I think when they set a standard, there is an idea that this is the line that we hold. I just get the feeling, and I might be wrong here, that O'Brien on a personal level has a hard time sustaining relationships. Now, Saban's had a crap ton of coaches come in and out of that building, so maybe that can be said over there too. My dad turned down a chance to coach with him back when he first got to LSU because he knew about his reputation and how he was with other coaches. So that's out there. But, man, I don't know. I don't know that Bill O'Brien – I'm all for what Bill O'Brien wants in terms of practice and all that stuff. I just don't know if he has the – the consistency of how he behaves as a person and a non-impulsive attitude to really create culture. That's my big question.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, we got a lot to do. 7:30 ESPN, 97.5. We'll talk about the Zion Williamson thing on the other side.
Hello! To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I don't believe a word of this. Squeaky clean Duke could have nothing whatsoever to do with these allegations. They're false. They're inflammatory, mm-hmm. And there might be a libel suit by Coach K because
let's see if he does it, because that'll get some discovery going in a court case, and we'll get the whole truth, and in that way, Duke can clear their name.
Yep, Duke needs to clear. Well, clear its name. Duke would never have Duke. The good guys would never do anything like this.
No.
You know what I hate is people try to bring. Michael Jordan said the same thing. When you're on top, people just try to bring you down. And this is what they do with Coach K. Apparently, you know what? It's just such an era of snitching. It's the snitching era.
It really is.
This isn't a lawsuit, so it's not exactly snitching. But I don't know, you know, these guys are bringing a lawsuit against Zion Williamson, and they're naming – okay, so in this lawsuit – admit that you knew that Sharonda Sampson demanded to receive gifts. I guess these are his parents. He received gifts to influence you to attend Duke University to play basketball. Admit that you became a student at Duke University. You knew that Lee Anderson demanded to receive gifts and money to influence you to wear Adidas shoes. Admit before you became a student at Duke University that Sharonda Sampson demanded to receive gifts to influence you to wear Adidas shoes. Admit that you became a student at Duke University. You knew that Lee Anderson demanded to receive gifts to influence you to attend a college that endorsed Adidas shoes. I mean, you want to talk about snitching on everything. And this is in the middle of a lawsuit. Now, he's being sued, Zion Williamson is, by Miami-based company Prime Sports Marketing. Filed a lawsuit against Williamson last year, alleging that he backed out of an exclusive marketing agreement that he signed days after he declared for the NBA draft. The firm is seeking at least $100 million in damages.
Oh, I remember that when he bailed out. So this is the thing. This is going to be the thing now is they're going to try to snitch you out. But the same people who are – but the same people were who will snitch are part of the process of inducements and things like that. So that's what's going to be – that's what will be tricky. But, yeah, is this the – this is why I just have such a jaundiced view of people who – demand athletes get paid when the best athletes are getting paid and mad. And it's way more than the NCAA could pay them. You would force them into pay cuts if you really were very strict.
Which one are you mad about? That they're getting paid or that they're doing it illegally or that they're going to make less pay?
No, I'm not mad at any of them. What I'm saying is the players will be like, shut the fuck up. You're going to cost us money if you get this thing highly regulated and start criminalizing once colleges start paying us actual – if colleges were allowed to pay the illegal inducements, if that dried up, it would be a huge pay cut.
Yeah, but aren't you tired of the Alabamas being – and the Kentuckys and the – I mean that they just cheat better and that's why they get all the good players. I mean, wouldn't you rather it be above board?
I don't think it's – yeah. Finally, everything is above board.
No, but at least there's a chance.
There's no chance.
We know the money's changing hands. How about we do it where everybody – where at least there's a chance that we know –
There's no chance.
Whereas – yeah, there is.
No, since when? When has it been clean?
No. Well, this system right now – I mean, you and I have argued about this.
You just pay a third party.
I mean, there's not – listen, I firmly believe let's put it all above board. Let's stop with the hypocrisy, put it above board, and let's know where the dollars are. And actually, a University of Houston might be able to become a player as opposed to knowing, well, we can't get that guy because he's being paid $250,000 here or $400,000 there or whatever the case may be. We can't become a player with this guy. Well, actually, maybe you can. Maybe you can get into the market.
Yeah, so, I've argued that. I'm not going to keep arguing. You got a thought on this. I don't think – my history has always been that corruption typically wins. I don't see any facet of anything that's clean in any society. Everything is corrupt. Greed eventually wins out. We see it in everything. I don't see why it's going to be different. And once you cross a certain portal, I think you're always going to have an issue. To this point, though, you will get snitched on by people who feel like they are owed money. And that's clearly the case here. And they're saying, okay, we're going to unleash the nuclear warhead. But the thing is, you think Zion cares? You think Zion cares one single bit that they say anything other than he doesn't want to get sued?
Apparently, he liked Duke. He loves Coach K. He really had a great experience at Duke. And if he takes down the university, then yeah, he will care.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. It isn't going to change anything in his life.
No. It's not going to change. And guess what? He took the money or whatever. Maybe. I don't know. Allegedly, he took the money, and he's in the NBA now, and yeah, he's gonna feel bad. I'm sure Reggie Bush feels bad too.
Let me ask Dell a question. Do you know? Do you keep? You keep up with college? Does Bill Self? How many years in prison is he right now facing?
I don't think he's facing years in prison.
But he got major trouble.
Has he? Because
no,
I mean, Alec.
There's no such thing as major trouble for any major
notification. Or notice of allegations was served to Kansas. I think that might even happen last week or the week before. Kansas is like, we didn't do anything wrong. NCAA is like, yeah, you did. So we'll see how that goes. But Bill Self's not going to prison. His name might be mud in college basketball at some point, but he ain't going to jail.
I doubt it's even mud.
Well, if Kansas is found guilty and he is found to have known, then I don't think he'll be coaching anymore because the NCAA was like, yeah, Kansas, you effed up here.
Do y'all see any scenario where this knocks Coach K out of college basketball?
I don't see it.
It almost got to Patino. I mean, he's at Iona now. I mean, enough, you know, and listen.
Well, that involved hookers, too.
You got to play.
Do you remember that?
But you get in any trouble, there's show cause now. And you're going to have to show cause for hiring that guy. And you may face sanctions for hiring a guy that has sanctions against him. So, I could certainly see a scenario where Calipari would be too toxic.
Well, the thing with Coach K is you'd have to trace it back and say he knew. And in this it says, Sharonda Sampson, Williams' mother, and Lee Anderson, his stepfather, demanded and received gifts and economic benefits from persons acting on behalf of Duke University directly or indirectly to influence Williamson to attend Duke to play basketball. So, I mean, that could be someone from Nike. Yeah. Or someone.
All you got to do is insulate.
So
yeah, it's not coming back.
Yeah.
On Coach K.
Yeah,
Calipari. Yeah, Calipari could. Calipari could absolutely.
Everyone learned from what Calipari did.
Right. Well, Calipari's the best at it. Calipari, there's no question.
Is he the best now or not the best? Oh, Calipari. Now you're talking about. Wait. We're talking about Patino or Calipari. You're talking about Calipari.
Calipari.
Now.
Calipari's the best. Yeah, Patino. Well, we'll see what happens with Iona. If they come out with sanctions on Louisville. When Patino did it, left, none of these kids have anything to do with it. And Patino is going to just skate and go to Iona and be able to coach basketball. It is the most flawed, worst system ever. When the guy responsible can just move on and go somewhere else, and you're going to punish kids that had absolutely nothing to do with any of that. Then the NCAA, you know what? Then all these Power Five conferences, everybody needs to break away from the NCAA because it's too stupid. To follow.
Well, you're going to have to eventually punish universities, and the kids will be the collateral damage because they can't have instantaneous justice where the kids who are there taking the improper benefits get hit the next month. Like no one, discovery takes more than a month, 2 months. It always lasts longer. That's a problem you face, but the university is culpable too for hiring a guy like that. Like the buck does stop there. How it goes down, I have no idea. And I feel like this will just go away because I don't feel like there's any desire to really clean anything up. I mean, they might want to clean it up, but I don't know if they can. It's so deep-seated. I knew stories back in the 90s about local AAU teams that had just tremendous influence because the shoe companies basically bought their ways in and had tremendous influence. So this has been going on, and that was – I'm thinking of something that happened in 99. I mean, it was forever ago. And that was going on before that, too. So the shoe companies are major, major players, as you saw in that documentary. I mean, it's just – this is so ingrained. I don't know if it changes. Let's get Longhorn Scott's in. Let's get Longhorn Scott in real quick. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. Listen, first off, it's always nice to tune in and get some the old idea of getting some normalcy. So appreciate y'all swinging every day. First of all, I'll try to be brief. I got a comment and a question. The comment is, if ever there was proof that these universities cannot survive without paying kids, let alone paying them. I mean, if you look at what's going on right now, and what's going to be suddenly a lot of these schools trimming the fat, so to speak, with getting rid of some of these programs. I mean, hell, St. Edward's University already cut like six of their programs. The idea that you can pay students, I mean, these departments make a lot of money. Mostly they're putting it back into the program, though. They're building facilities to try to keep up with each other. Somebody one-ups it. The next school says, hell, we got to make it even better. And a lot of them are giving money back. Well, some of them are giving money back to their universities. I say some of them. I mean, I know UT does, but... So this idea, like, I can just envision it. Yeah, let's tell you what, it's okay for a kid to make money on his likeness. So here's how this is going to go down. Let's see, coach is sitting in the living room with a top recruit and says, hey, buddy, how about the idea of what if I could guarantee you we're going to sell 50,000 jerseys with your name on it at, X dollars per jersey? I mean, that's all it's going to turn into is, the alumni are going to be, like, throwing their money into buying, like, gear for – recruit X, and it's going to be the same thing. It's just going to go to the highest bidder on the front end. It's not going to be even if the kid flames out and even doesn't even play, the kid's still going to get this money because the alumni were like, listen.
Okay, so how's that different? How's that different now than what's going on now, Scott? Scott, how's that different than what's going on now?
Well, the difference is
what guys are getting paid, and guys and some guys don't work out. Some top recruits don't work out, and yet he got a bag full of cash, and never play or get injured early on or whatever, and they get a bag full of cash from a booster that's says we've got to have.
I think the way it's going to change is that it's going to legitimize it. And so take a guy like me. I'm not a big money booster, but I might throw in some money and go, hey, let's all pool together. And all of a sudden it happens to the point that because it's legitimate now, I can do it and it's not illegal. Like, I'm not going to harm my university. In fact, it's only going to help. So what the hell? I believe I'll get in on it. I'll get all of my buddies. We'll pool some money together and we'll get a big pot together. Like some people do at the livestock show where they're like, hey, let's just get a big pot of money, and we'll go support the kids and buy livestock. It's the same thing that will happen here. And so now it's going to exacerbate the problem where certain schools are just going to have nothing but there's about 20 schools that are going to crush it.
You mean as opposed to now?
They're just going to fall off.
Well, if 20 schools are going to crush it, it'll actually be a big improvement because right now there's four.
Right now there's basically four.
Yeah, but a lot of that is, John, a lot of that you have to admit is – look, you know, if you go to Alabama, not only do you have a chance to win, you got a good chance of going high in the pros too. That's a big selling point.
Oh, absolutely, it is.
I mean, to act like that's not, you know, people are just like, well, they are the highest bidder. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think Alabama.
No. Listen, and again, nothing is going to change. The big recruits are going to get money just like they are now, and the other ones aren't, and that's just how it is.
And from. Maybe I'm wrong, but from what I remember from the new ruling, it isn't like boosters come together and buy the services of a kid. It's hey, the kid can now go work at the local – not work, but he can sponsor – he can be the spokesperson for something.
But this is my point. To prevent this from happening, what Scott's saying, it could be true where you say, okay, we'll make sure you get this many jerseys sold with your likeness so that will generate that. What you do to counter that is you have stricter enforcement of some oversight. You create rules. You're going to have to create a ceiling and say, look, this is how much you can make because it's not supposed to be unlimited professional sports. That's not what this is. It is colleges. It's not pro sports.
You know what's going to – and when you limit it, there's going to be – and it's going to happen. And even if you don't limit it, there's still going to be the booster in the locker room with $100 bills.
That's what I'm saying.
$100 handshakes.
That's not going away.
As far as the jerseys thing, schools, some of them, not all of them, schools have decided before this ruling came down that we're no longer going to put the number of a specific player on a jersey now. What they've done is they go the number one. Now, that might happen to be a player, but it just represents we're number one. And then they put the year. Like I know Miami did it where it wasn't, hey, you can't – we're not going to sell you the – starting quarterback's number, but what we will do is sell you a jersey with the one on it or the year that we're playing in. So if you do that, schools can still sell their jerseys, but then that's not taking the likeness of a player. So I don't if that becomes a thing where kids can make money off the jersey sales, I would imagine schools are like, we're not going to do that. We're not going to put your number on the back of a jersey.
No, but other websites like can do Nike that. Website
certainly.
Or whatever. Can't put not only the kid's number, but he could put his name on the back, and the kid can actually make money off of it.
I wonder if those particular institutions, and by institutions I mean like the Adidas and the Nikes of the world, decide, you know what, we don't want to cut the kid in on this. We were just fine selling jerseys with Alabama and
there's
the number
a lot of
one
companies
on it.
So I want to keep it exactly
yeah,
like.
So I wonder if they will even
the
do
table.
That.
Yeah, a lot of people want to look. The best way is probably to just keep doing it under the table.
Well, until the Adidas guy went to prison for it.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, wait, this ain't so good anymore.
Some people got to take hits.
That dude went to prison over this.
Oh, well.
Yeah. No. But, Lance, they don't want to do that. If you're Adidas and Nike, now Nike's being named in this thing. Adidas is being named in this thing. Guess what? They ain't going to be happy about that. And those guys are losing their jobs over this. So as opposed to it being under the table and guys going to prison and losing their jobs, they're going to go, let's just pay what we're paying anyway. Let's just document it and make sure everybody can get their bag.
You know,
it's going to be above board.
And if you have a bag, you know you should go to buy a car, Lance?
Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick GMC in Angleton. Talk to Craig DeSerf. just actually, it was on Friday. We were just talking on Friday. I'm going to go see him this week. And they've got some unbelievable programs. Listen, delivery to your door is never going to cost you anything extra. That's what they've been doing forever over at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. They're in Angleton. And so in the past, people have said, Angleton? Ooh, but I got to drive 45 minutes to Angleton. And then you found out that you could save good money in Angleton. Here's the difference. Not only do they want to make sure that you get the type of vehicle that you want, they want to make sure that that the price point is good, that the trade-in value is more than anyone else offers, and that your service is second to none. Now they have 0% financing on GMC, Buick, and your Chevrolet, and this is 0% financing for up to 84 months for well-qualified buyers, 120 days of deferred payments for well-qualified buyers. These are the programs going on right now to help you during these tough times, because just because you have tougher times financially, it doesn't necessarily mean that you might not need a new pickup truck or a new SUV, a new crossover vehicle, a new Buick. Maybe you want to downsize into something else. Maybe you want to go to a pre-owned vehicle. Go to LanceZCars.com. These are the guys I trust, and I've been trusting them for years and years. LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So, the Texans interested in Larry Warford. I don't know what making the Pro Bowl means, but he has made the Pro Bowl the last 3 years. Which means that, you know, some people think that he's playing pretty well. He outlived his contract in New Orleans, obviously. They have cut him. He is available. Is he better than what the Texans have?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was just too expensive in New Orleans.
Yeah, and he's going to be too expensive here, too.
And that's why we were talking about it. I think we talked about it on this show. That's why they drafted Cesar Ruiz, even though where they had Eric McCoy's, because one of those guys is going to play guard, one's going to play center, and Warford was going to be the odd man out. That was always the case. As soon as he was drafted, it let you know, okay, he's headed out. So I think it'd be great. I think Larry Warford would – now, the price point is what's going to be the question, and more than likely you're a one-year deal with Larry Warford.
Which means that you're going – well, it doesn't – it means you're going to have to – listen, I think the other five spots, obviously, with as much money as they've given Nick Martin, as much – you know, obviously, you're set at right tackle. You're set at left tackle. Max Sharping looks to be set at left guard. You got one spot. You know what? It's probably going to have to be a guy that's a young guy anyway. Right, I mean, you can't have all this money. You spent $22 million on your left tackle.
Right,
you got $9 million at wide receiver. You got $13 million at running back. You got $8 million in another wide receiver. You got Fuller's coming up. I mean, you got to get some cheap help. You can't just keep throwing. There's this. It's not unlimited. And oh, by the way, if they don't play in front of fans, it could come down from $200 million salary cap to $150 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, or even less. Who knows what's going to happen there? I mean, you got to get some cheap help in here, and that's what you got. Larry Warford has to be a 1 year deal. If you sign that dude to a long term contract, I liked what Joe Theismann told Dak Prescott. Said, you're a good player. You're not a top five quarterback. What are you doing? Yes. Take the money.
But what difference is that making for Joe? Supposedly they're getting ready to offer $35 million,
right.
which is a good – that would make him a top – and the Cowboys want to get this done before – they want to get this done before Deshaun and before Pat Mahomes.
Yes, absolutely. But one thing that he said is – you're not a top five quarterback. You know what? He's not a top five quarterback in the league.
Do you know agents who don't have quarterbacks are really pissed off about these contracts for quarterbacks? Because this is not looked at agents of non, because a lot of times quarterbacks have quarterback agents. There's just guys who have a cottage industry of having quarterbacks. And the agents in the business who don't have quarterbacks hate these quarterback contracts because it said it's squeezing out the middle class. The middle class football player is getting crushed because of these quarterback deals because you can't afford your, and it's really going to hurt now when you have these contracts and then the salary cap gets lowered. It is going to devastate the middle class football player. And I understand middle class.
That's what happens in every sport, though.
9 million, really 10 million. I get that that's still a lot. But
the only one that saw it were the basketball players, and they said, we got to do a mid-level exception for veteran players. Mid-level exception, it was actually well thought out by the Players Association, saying, we got to take care of guys that have been in the league that get squeezed out by the young players coming in that are making so much money, and by the superstars that are taking up all of the
still low though
the cap.
It's still a lot lower. It's a lot, it's not really middle class money, to be honest with you. It is like the mid level exception right now is this is okay. So James Harden can make $40 million, right? Plus. What do you think the mid level exception is for this year? The number
5.6.
No, it's higher than that. Then okay, 9.2.
Yeah.
9.2, 9.7.
Yeah, that's
now
a good living for a guy that's been in the league for 15 years and is toward the tail end.
One guy, yeah, it's a quarter of what James makes, but yes.
Yeah.
One guy.
That's a guy, you kidding?
But you have good, no, but the guys who are at the tail end, they're not making this. There's good players who make mid-level, too.
9.2 is good money, too.
I didn't say it's not good money. Yeah. That's my whole point. But what I'm saying is relative to, in the NFL, what I've been told by three different agents is these quarterback deals are killing other position players because now you have to have the quarterback. It eats up a bigger chunk than ever before of the cap. And so you're now teams are going to start going with these lower, and there's a new element to the cap where guys are having to take, you know what I'm talking about, the non-guarantee or the portion of the contract. They've changed it. There's new verbiage on contracts that kind of force guys to take lower money, but their money is guaranteed. Like all the earned incentives. If one of the agents is listening right now, y'all can tell me what that name is. There's a new name where the incentives are all counted into your cap spot now.
Like, oh, right.
Like the roster bonuses and all that.
Well, likely to be earned.
Yeah,
likely
but it's called something else now. Yeah,
right.
And I had a friend of mine tell me this is a killer for us. And he was trying to explain it. And these agents have to know so much cap crap. It's unbelievable. But
it's stupid.
One of the things I've been told is that the middle-class football player is really struggling now because of quarterbacks, and they hurt guys on their own team because now you look at the Texans. The Texans are going to be forced to carry two guys who are maybe the top paid in the league because Bill O'Brien does know how to negotiate. And so now Deshaun is going to be – they're going to end up paying for sure more than $60 million for two players. Then when you throw in, you don't have the wide receiver money anymore. At some point, you're not going to have the JJ money. But when two players take up, let's say, $63 million of your cap, man, that's a lot. And you're going to have to go younger draft picks. Most teams are going to have to go younger draft picks and let the veterans, kind of price
them
out of the league.
Again, where are the Texans getting unbelievable value? Then Deshaun and Justin Reed.
No, yeah.
And wait.
The Texans
else are they? And that's what teams have to do. How did Seattle win a Super Bowl? With fifth rounders that weren't making any money, with a Russell Wilson, and they got it in the third round.
But it's not a great model for long-term stability. And here's why. You don't want to use the NBA model of, okay, you get two or three really good guys and the rest have to be low-dollar guys. Like that's how the NBA got built because of Jordan, and that's how what the NBA became, and that's what baseball became. Football has been one of the reasons it's been the healthiest sport is you do have some parity and you do have some consistency. And if they get into that model of basketball, I don't think that's a great model to go highest of the high and then lowest of the low. And
choice. I mean, I don't know that you have any choice. We were looking at the quarterback salaries of the guys who have won. You know, Brady always took a little bit less. Peyton Manning actually didn't take all that much when he went to Denver. He was a $15 million guy.
But he wouldn't back up. Well, that's because Peyton Manning was coming off a debilitating injury. Peyton wouldn't cut any of his money in Indy, and it was a big problem.
No. Right, but they won a Super Bowl, and he won a Super Bowl with Denver. And you know, and by the way, they did it. They were last in the league in rushing, and they won a Super Bowl. So that was all that was on his back. But yeah, like it or not, Lance, that's the league. And if you want to know the truth, Dak Prescott, I agree with Joe Theismann. Take 33 or 34.
Nah, hold on. Wait till you can get your 40, Dak. Do what's best for the Cowboys. Get your 40.
Well, you know what? I agree with that wholeheartedly, actually. All right, time for me to talk about basketball. We were riding our bikes yesterday, and we were riding through a nice neighborhood, and they had a goal that was – there was no net on it. A really nice house. And I wanted to take a picture of it. I wanted to tweet it out, and I wanted to say, really? This is your basket, rich boy? Really? How about getting the best basket? It brought down the value. Now they can't sell that house. They can't sell that house because of that basket out front. Didn't have a net on it. The basket's crooked. It's just terrible. You know where you're going to get the best looking basket that's going to actually add to the curb appeal of your home? It's at Hoops. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. When you see this with the tempered black glass backboard and the rim that can lower and the kids can have fun with, how many times? Yeah, the kids can't enjoy it. The little kids can't enjoy it. And they can't make baskets, Dad. They can't hit a 10-foot shot. So get them a Pro Dunk Hoops basket. ProDunkHoops.com. Just the best basket ever. The installation second to none. You will love the product. ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5.